Totally Hockey at the 2019 IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship. As the puck prepares to drop, we're the one-stop shop for this year's battle to be top. Will the US stars earn their stripes? Will Russia put in a good performance? Will anyone have the beating of Sweden? Big teams, the big players, the big surprises on their way in Slovakia. Swede sound of success last May in Copenhagen as the Tre Kroner wrapped up their second straight world title. And here we are, ready for another championship. 16 teams, 17 days, one daily podcast. And joining us for our preview show, I'm delighted to welcome Marie Lehmann of SVT's Swedish coverage of the championship. Hello, Marie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being with us. Also here, Lucas Aykroyd, award-winning hockey writer.
Thank you.
Yes, Lucas. And making your 20th consecutive World Championship appearance.
It does become a bit of an addiction.
Extraordinary. So we'll hear a little bit about the highlights of those two decades in the course of the show. But Alex Appleyard is also joining us, I hope. Alex, are you there?
Happy to be here.
Great stuff. Alex, you're going to be based in Košice, covering all sorts of exciting stories there. And also, I know, keeping an eye on some of the hot young prospects that we should be looking out for in the course of the championship. Now, Marie, first of all, as reigning champions, three crowns on the shirt, can you get a third straight title?
Of course we can, we could, but this will be tough, I guess, this year compared to the two previous years. The Sweden, well, they might need one or two more players to be as good as they were last year, but still, yeah, sure, why not?
Right, and am I right in thinking, Lucas, that the level of competition has actually increased from last year, in terms of the rosters that Sweden are going to be up against, in terms of the way the playoffs in the NHL have actually allowed players to become free?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the Russian roster, there's just an embarrassment of offensive riches up front there. You have three former Art Ross Trophy winners as the NHL's leading scorer, and Alex Ovechkin, Evgeny Malkin, and Nikita Kucherov for one. The U.S. is bringing arguably its most stacked roster ever, and the Swedes are going to be in tough.
Alex, there's a very intriguing matchup coming up on the 13th of May that you may well have ringed in red in your diary when USA take on Finland.
Yes, I think this World Championships is going to be quite special in regards to the young players who are actually at the World Championships. And we haven't really had that big a history of having so many players age 18 and under come into the World Championships with a chance to play a big role on the team. And this year we have the first and second likely overall picks in the NHL draft, Jack Hughes and Kaapo Kakko, who will be playing that game against each other. And both of them have the potential to maybe surpass Patrick Laine's 2015-16 performance as the best draft-eligible performance at a World Championships we've ever seen.
All right. Jack Hughes, who's just beaten Ovechkin's old under-18 record. Is that right, Lucas?
I was fortunate enough to see that in person up in Örnsköldsvik, Sweden. And yeah, Jack Hughes is a magician.
Right.
The way he skates, the way he sees the ice. He was setting up his line mate there, Cole Caulfield, for 14 goals, which equaled Ovechkin's single tournament record. And the fact that he's going to be coming here at age 17 should have fans very excited.
You've seen Kaapo Kakko play recently.
Yeah, I did last weekend, actually, in Brno, just a few days ago. He didn't play the first game, but he did play the two last games. And he's 18 years old, and he just goes out there, and the passes, you know, he does. The other players, they have an open net, and you can't even, you don't know where he finds those passes. He just sees the ice the way someone who's played a game for like 36 years or something, and he's just 18 years old. So that will be so nice to see him play here on this level. He didn't play the World Under 18 in Örnsköldsvik because he wanted to make the senior team to see what he can do that. And they won the World Juniors this year in Vancouver.
On his goal.
He's such a great player already. He's 18 years old.
With him and Jack Hughes, are we looking at once-in-a-generation players?
I think so. I think there's definite potential there. Some people, including Jack Hughes himself, feel that he has locked up the number one spot based on his performance at the U18s, where he beat Ovechkin's record. But, Kaapo Kakko has been playing exceptionally well against men in the Finnish league this year, and he's going to be in the mix.
Who has the first pick this year?
The New Jersey Devils.
And if you were their GM, who would you take?
I would lean towards Jack Hughes, but I don't think you would go wrong with Kaapo Kakko either.
You know, he did score, I think, 22 goals in the Liga in Finland this year. And that's more than Alexander Barkov did, who plays for the Florida Panthers, now the best, you know, Finnish player. So he's, you know, he has a great future, and it's already here, I guess, for these World Championships.
Okay. Well, every day we're going to be here with the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Straight after the last buzzer sounds, we'll be rounding up all the action and throwing forward, and unlike the players, with as little padding as possible. We're going to start off today with the Big Six.
You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
Love that long hair, that big flow when he skates.
Oh, look at that one! Michael Granlund, are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Wow. Lucas, 2011, the last time the championship was in Slovakia, and that brings back some memories.
Absolutely. I think for Finns, the vision of Mikhail Granlund's lacrosse goal in the semifinals over the Russians, that is always going to be iconic. And you have to remember that those kind of goals have gotten more common now. But back then, you did not see that with that kind of frequency, and certainly not in an ultimate pressure situation. So Mikhail Granlund really started to forge his international legend at that time.
Right.
And, he went on, you know, he went on to big things in Sochi as well, teaming up with Teemu Selänne. But Finns will always cherish that.
3-0 in the semi over Russia. And then what happened in the final again?
I knew you were going there. There was one even coming into the third period, right? And then the Finns scored 5 against Viktor Fast, the Swedish goalie. But, you know, they had a great tournament up till the final, actually. And actually up till the third period of the final. I don't know what happened. I don't think anyone knows what happened, actually, back then 8 years ago. But one thing that is kind of interesting is that Oliver Ekman-Larsson was on the team then. He had played his first year in the NHL and came here being young and everything. And now he's back in Slovakia 8 years later being the captain of the team. So he's had a great career and, you know, he's important. And he's been here before. He did lose the final, but they played well up till the final right here.
Hockey, it can change so quickly.
Yeah.
The Big Six then. So Sweden, Finland, obviously, Czech Republic, Russia, USA, Finland, and Canada. Sweden, you're hedging a little bit on how much they might be expected to produce the third straight title, but their record in the last 2 years, what is it, just one defeat in that time?
Yeah, exactly. Last year they won, you know, everything. And they are a good team. They have a good coach. This is his last year. Everyone is talking about him going to the NHL next year, maybe being the first Swede on the bench there. And he's had a good period, of course, with the Swedish national team. They have this program nowadays, so everyone knows what are expected from them when they, you know, goes to the World Championships and the national team. So he's had a good period with the team. And now we have, you know, Henrik Lundqvist, and he was here 2 years ago as well when they won the first of two. So they have a good team.
Okay.
We'll see, yeah.
Lundqvist, who's kind of the symbol of this side, not coming off the best of seasons.
Yeah. No, he had a little bit of a slow year with the Rangers. I think, in fact, this year he played his lowest number of games ever in an NHL season. So he is starting to fray around the edges a little bit. He has tremendous pride, but I think there could be an interesting battle shaping up in goal there as well with the kind of year that Jacob Markstrom had in Vancouver. Markstrom has always been a bit of a project as an NHL netminder, but he really started to find his form around December this year, working with Ian Clark, the Vancouver Canucks goaltending coach, just simplifying his game and really putting up some pretty good numbers. So if Lundqvist were to stumble, I think Rickard Grönberg would look at going to Markstrom.
Okay. Alex, who catches your eye in the Swedish lineup?
For me, I think the big story with Sweden this year is actually the forward group and how young it is. When you look at, say, the top 6 or 7 forwards, you have Nylander, Lindholm, Bratt, Kempe, Lindblom, and Pettersson. And they're arguably, say, 6 of the best 7 forwards alongside Patrick Hornqvist. So it's going to be interesting to see how they all perform at the international level. You know, a lot of them play together in the World Juniors, so it's going to be interesting to see how they carry that form over onto the highest level.
Mm. Pedersen's coming off a fantastic first season with the Canucks in the NHL, and Sweden begin against the Czechs, who, of course, are just across the border, 65 kilometres, 65,000 metres, as I like to term it. They have been a force in the past. What can we expect from them this time?
We were in Brno, which is, 110 kilometers from here, maybe, for last weekend, because they played Sweden, the Czech Republic, Finland, and Russia played a tournament in Brno. Mm. And the first game the Czech Republic played, they were brutally bad, really. I think they had one practice ahead of that game, and they had good players, they do, on the team actually. But second and third team, they played really, really well. So a lot happened between, you know, Thursday and Saturday for that team. So they look very interesting actually, and they will have the crowd. It'll be a home crowd like it was 8 years ago.
Alex, are you excited by this Czech team?
I think for me, the question this year might be in goal. They don't have an NHL goalie coming to the championships. Jakub Kovář is a very good goalie over in the KHL. He hasn't had as good a season as in previous years, but he has the potential to be very good. So I think really it depends on their netminding and also their defense. I have no doubt that the forward group is going to be exciting to watch. They have Jakub Voracek, Jakub Vrána, Andrej Palat, Filip Hytl, who's a young player with a lot of talent, and also Dominik Kubalik, who is still playing in Europe, but from his talent level should have probably been in the NHL a few years ago. But on defense, really, they have Radko Gudas and young Filip Hronek are really the players who are going to lead their defense. So I think I'm not worried about them scoring goals, but I can see them getting lit up by some of the top teams if they don't play to their potential.
All right. Alex, who are the favorites this year, would you say?
For me, I think I can't really look past the USA and Russia.
Okay.
I think the USA just have, as Lucas said before, maybe the best team they've ever brought to a World Championships. The forward talent they have is preposterous with Gaudreau, Eichel, Keller, Patrick Kane, Van Riemsdyk, Larkin, DeBrincat, and then young Jack Hughes as well. And while the defense might not be on the same level as the forwards, they've managed to get Ryan Suter to come along, and he's been one of the best defensemen in the NHL for years and can hold that defense together around him.
All right. The knock with the USA has been in recent years. I mean, you've mentioned in the past, Lucas, the long drought in terms of medals for them, that they didn't take it seriously enough, that they didn't commit the players enough. There's no doubting the quality of this lineup, though.
Well, when you see Patrick Kane coming back for a second consecutive year, you know that they're going to be serious, and you know that they're going to be seriously going after a medal. It is amazing when you consider that the U.S. has not been able to go all the way. They've been awfully close several years. There's been some good bronze medal teams, but I just think that the overall depth is really going to be a major factor.
Right. They begin with Slovakia this Friday. Russia, who you also mentioned, Alex, are starting their campaign against Norway. How would you describe the Russian squad, Alex?
Russia just have an array of talent, and they've managed to get them all together at the same place. I mean, they have Malkin and Ovechkin going this year, and they also have one of the best goalies in the NHL in Andrei Vasilevsky. And the defense, while it isn't maybe what it could have been, I think Ivan Provorov missing the World Championship seemingly due to a contract situation will slightly hurt them, but they still have Orlov and Sergachev and Nesterov, Zaitsev. It's looking an exceptional team, and I think it really depends on kind of how they gel together and how the lines work, depending on how far they can go.
Okay.
But on paper, this team can beat anyone in the World Championships.
It is a scary lineup. Ovechkin, Kucherov, for example, top scorer in the NHL this year. Are the questions at the back enough to not make them favourite for you, Lucas?
They're certainly in the mix, but it's always that question of cohesiveness. I mean, we've seen this before. After the 2010 Olympics, the Russians brought 14 or 15 of their players from their Olympic team that had crashed in Vancouver. And yeah, the defense is a bit of a question mark. It's really more, I think, though, about just getting a complete team effort where you get all those high-end guys, your Ovechkins and Malkins, back-checking consistently, not cheating, not always looking for the long pass. We saw that when the Russians won this tournament in 2012 under Bilya Letdinov, 10 straight wins, and, you know, Evgeny Malkin as the tournament MVP. If they can get that throughout the lineup, then they're going to be extremely dangerous.
Okay. Gold medal winners, of course, under the banner of athletes. What was the name that they came up with? Olympic athletes from Russia, I think.
Correct.
In 2018. And last time they were world champions, 2014?
Yeah.
2014. All right, well, that leaves, of the big six, Canada, who, for all of our praise for the talent the USA and Russia, etc., brought to this championship, Canada's squad is just ridiculous, Marie.
Yeah, it is. And it's fascinating. These world championships, before they even start, look so interesting all over, I guess, the place. I don't think any world championships that I can remember have had so many world-class players all over, I mean, all together before it even starts, you know. It's 1 week later, the start of the tournament, maybe that's a factor.
Right.
But still, it's fantastic. It looks great. I'm really excited.
Fingers crossed. No medals last time for Canada. To what extent are they on a mission at this championship?
I think they're definitely on a mission. You have guys in that lineup who are disappointed from either past international experiences or coming off the Stanley Cup playoffs. And case in point, John Tavares of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Here's a guy who comes into Toronto with such fanfare, such a big contract, and then to bow out the way they did against the Bruins, that's tough. and John Tavares's unfinished business at the World Hockey Championship. Mm-hmm. You know, he has an Olympics gold medal from Sochi, although he wasn't able to play the whole tournament. He has the World Cup of Hockey, but he would like to add a world championship to his belt. So I think him as one of the veteran faces in the room, you're going to see a great effort from John Tavares, among others.
All right. Alex, you've highlighted the importance of good netminding to these teams. What's your take on Matt Murray?
I mean, when Matt Murray's on, he's one of the best netminders in the world. And that's difficult to say as a guy who's a Philadelphia Flyers fan. But I think he can come into the World Championships and hold the fort down for Canada and give them every chance to win.
So you're tipping either USA or Russia, Alex, which, you know, covers a lot of bases. Lucas, what's your prediction?
I'm going to say US, Russia, and Canada as the top three.
In that order?
If the US doesn't do it this year, I don't know what it's going to take, honestly.
I see. I'm not hearing Sweden, though, Marie.
Yeah, it's a good thing for us Swedes. We always like to come from behind. But I mean, yeah, Sweden have two in a row, so why not? I think they will be up there too. It's always, they usually play well in the World Championship. So if they make it to the semifinals, you know, anything can happen.
Nice.
But Russia, yeah, I hold Russia. You know, they are my favorites for sure.
It's going to be interesting to see. Very shortly, we'll have a look at some other teams who are flying maybe under the radar a little bit. The other 12 sides looking to grab some glory here in scenic Slovakia.
Welcome to Slovakia.
Vítajte na Slovensku.
And the best thing in Slovakia, the girls and the high Tatras.
And really, you just need to enjoy the time here and try our food.
The best in Slovakia is a beer and a lot of castles. Život mi dává to, čo mi život bere, keď ma sere, keď zatvára dvere v mojom smere, keď sa mi smeje a keď to nikam nespeje, tak berem do rúk mikrofón a než vítane zvuk, ja to na flón som v tom.
Boom. And yes, that is Slovakian hip-hoppers Kontrafakt with the Dava Mi, the seminal hit from 2003. Let's talk about the home team then, Slovakia. Will they be having a good record or will it be big beats for the homeboys?
It's going to be tough. I mean, you look back at what happened in 2011, they had a significantly deeper roster back then with Pavel Dimitra and Marian Hossa and Miroslav Šatan, so many of the legends of Slovak hockey, and yet they ended up in 10th place. Cut to 2019, Slovakia has far less depth. I mean, the marquee NHL names for them this time around are going to be Tomas Tatar, who's coming off a good season with the Montreal Canadiens, Richard Panik, so-so with the Arizona Coyotes, and then it's going to be a bit of a slog. You hope that they're going to do well for the sake of the home fans who love hockey so much, but it's going to be very hard.
Okay. Switzerland, meantime, is there a case for expanding the Big Six to Big Seven just to kind of squeeze them in? Because they are consistently there or thereabouts in these championships, Marie. No, there's not a case, is
there? Not this year, I don't think it is. No, maybe some other year.
Okay.
But no, I don't think so, no.
They took you so close last year. They were finalists in 2013. They've got a bunch of exciting young players in their roster as well. Alex, are they a team whose chances you rate?
Switzerland are always so well drilled. I think that's one of the most impressive things about them. And their coach, Patrick Fischer, I think last year was the star of the World Championships, potentially over most of the players. He gets his team playing extremely well, cohesive hockey from in the neutral zone, in the offensive zone, in the defensive zone. And they have some fantastic players going. I mean, Nico Hischier is a brilliant player. Roman Josi is one of the best defensemen in the NHL. I've always really rated Fiala, who's going to be there. I think maybe the team has slightly less depth than last year because they're missing Timo Meier, who's with San Jose Sharks, and also Nino Niederreiter, who are two of their better players. Plus, I think last year they relied heavily on Rito Bera, the goalie, having an exceptional tournament. He's a solid goalie, but he really had a fantastic tournament, and I'm not sure he can repeat that this year.
I think 14 or maybe more players have returned for this year's championship. I'm just surprised that they're not considered more of a potential force in this.
The thing is that they came out of the shadows last year, and they also came out of the shadows in 2013. You know, the notion that Sweden would be in the final on home ice in Stockholm, that was not a surprise to anyone, especially when they airlifted in the Sedin brothers at the end who led the way. But nobody foresaw Switzerland playing the way they did either last year or the year before. It's really a credit to how they can get going in one direction as a team. But yeah, year in and year out, it's hard to peg them as a full-fledged medal contender.
Is there another candidate to maybe spring a surprise? A Germany, perhaps?
Yeah,
a Latvia?
We need to talk about Germany.
Let's
definitely
talk about Germany.
Yes. I mean, last year in the Olympics and now the World Championships, and actually last World Championships they also.
Okay, so silver medalists in 2018,
yeah,
in the Olympics. What do you like so much about them now? Is it their coach? What do you think is their strength?
Well, the strength in the Olympics was that they played together all year coming into the Olympics. So they were a well-drilled team together. They played as a team and they had been practicing together for a long while, of course. So that's the difference, I guess, coming here to the World Championship where there are the NHL players are playing, which they didn't in the Olympics. But they have they've played together for a long time. They know each other well. They have a good coach and they know the system. You know, the system is everything when it comes to teams like Germany, of course, or Switzerland.
Quarterfinalists, what, twice in the last three championships? Would you predict them being thereabouts this time around, Lucas?
It's hard to say. I think what they need is a transcendent performance from someone like Leon Draisaitl, who's coming in as one of the definite German players of quality. I mean, when you look at the Edmonton Oilers with Connor McDavid there and Draisaitl, you potentially have a 1-2 punch like Detroit used to have with Steve Yzerman and Sergei Fedorov. So what Germany tends to lack is that one game-breaking forward. I mean, you look back at Marco Sturm, their previous coach. He was the top scoring forward of all time among Germans in the NHL, yet he was never really considered to be an offensive icon. He was a good offensive player and a shorthanded threat. But if you can get the entire team working with that storied German work ethic and get some very timely goals from Leon Draisaitl, then you never know.
All right, Alex, your take on Germany.
I think they have a really good chance to at least make the quarterfinals. I think especially with the group they're in. I mean, the Finnish team this year might be the weakest team Finland have brought in recent memory. They really have no standout players. I would say the most talented player on the team is maybe Joki Haju, who's a Chicago defensive prospect. And apart from that, they really don't have the depth or the star talent of previous years. And Germany have 11 players, I believe, returning from the Olympics. And they have Leon Draisaitl and Dominic Cahoon down the middle as their 1-2 centre punch. And then they have some really quite underrated European-based players, I feel. For example, you have Patrick Hager, who got 7 points in 7 games in the Olympics, and no one really talks about him. Marcus Eisenschmidt, who constantly plays well in the DEL in Germany. And then an ex-NHLer and a guy like Marcel Nobles and Frederick Tiefels, who's very talented. So I do think they have, if they can get the cohesion under the new coach, Tommy Söderholm, and get good goaltending performances, I think they could at least make it to the quarterfinals. And from there, it's one game knockout. They could cause an upset.
And Alex, Latvia, another of the quarterfinalists last year. I know nothing about them. Inform me.
Well, they do have some talent. I mean, they're not a team kind of with a guy like Leon Draisaitl. But they do have Rudolf Balcers, who's a young player in the Ottawa Senators organization who has some real skill. A lot of the players play together on the Dynamo Riga team as well in Latvia. And they have a goalie in Kristaps Gudelskis, who I think everyone kind of knows the performances he can put in through previous international tournaments and also over in North America. And then a kind of collection of some talented players from around the European leagues. So I think I wouldn't bet on them getting to the quarterfinals, but it wouldn't be an enormous surprise if they managed to eke out a place there.
You wouldn't bet on them not getting to the quarterfinals either. Interesting. The other thing is that a lot of them play in the KHL, so they're used to the big ice. How much of a factor is that in all seriousness, Lucas?
I think it's a factor, but by the same token, so many players play U18s, World Juniors, and so on overseas that it's not as foreign as it used to be. I mean, when Canada came to Moscow for the 1972 Summit Series, these NHL pros, the Phil Espositos, the Ken Drydens, all these guys looked at it and said, it looks like an ocean out there. They were shocked at the size. But there's so much emphasis on international competition now that there's always a brief adjustment period, but it shouldn't, in my opinion, be overrated.
This is the Totally Ice Hockey Show.
Exciting news that Kazakhstan and Belarus are confirmed as coming up to the 2020 Ice Hockey World Championship. The question, though, for us in this fortnight is who's going to be making way. Now, the bottom team from each group will be exiting. A lot of people have mentioned the likes of France, newly promoted Italy, and newly promoted Great Britain. Well, based there in Košice, where you're spending a lot of time, Alex, some fascinating stories behind this GB team. Do they have any prospects for getting a surprise win and maybe sticking around for another tournament?
I think what potentially could be the saving grace is that France are not sending the strongest team they've done either. They don't have some of their best players. For example, Stefan da Costa is not going to be there, who's one of their best players in previous world championships. Pierre-Edouard Belmar is maybe the best player they have in the NHL. He's not going to be there. So I think that might be the saving grace for Britain. If Britain can eke out a win over France, there is potential for them to stay up. However, on paper, I think the British roster in the Košice group is the weakest on paper. They have some players with high talent level. For example, Liam Kirk, who's currently over in Canada in the OHL playing for the Peterborough Petes, an Arizona Coyotes prospect, has a high skill level, but he's only 19 years old. And then you look into players like Jonathan Phillips and Colin Shields, who are in their late 30s and have been mainstays in the British national team for 10 years. Maybe their final farewell. But I think the real key is the game against France for Britain. If they can win that game, I can see them staying up. So that'll be a really one to watch out for, because it could decide who's going to the relegation.
Great Britain, of course, the inventors, many people say, of the sport of ice hockey, but sadly absent for too long, Marie, from the top flight, from the top table.
I'm not sure the Canadians do agree on that, who was first, right?
The mother country.
Yeah, but hockey is actually pretty big in Great Britain right now. They have lots of people watching the games. Some of the teams do. We have the CHL in Europe, the Champions Hockey League, and they have teams playing that championships, and there is a lot of people in the stands watching hockey.
Alex mentioned Liam Kirk. What are his prospects of breaking through with the Coyotes?
I think it's possible, by no means a sure thing. I mean, he's coming off a pretty respectable rookie season with Peterborough Petes. Yeah, we're not looking at, you know, Jack Hughes level potential here. But nonetheless, you know, sometimes it just takes one player like that to really ignite a fire under the youth hockey and the player's native country. So we'll see.
So Friday, everything gets underway. You can follow the action, goals as they go in, across the IIHF social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. There's also the very excellent IIHF app, with which you might even be listening to this podcast right now, because there is a podcast section on there, but that's got all the information, got highlights, got all sorts of archive stuff on there as well. Would you like to venture, Marie, a prediction or something that you're especially looking out for in this year's championship, something that you're really keen to see?
Well, since I'm being Swedish here, no. I'm really looking forward to see Elias Pettersson on this team this year in the championships. He was on the team last year, but he got injured, so he didn't play the final or the quarterfinals or semifinals. And now he comes here. He's been on the center position coming into the championship, and he will be playing on the first line, centering that line. And he's done that for a year. He is a senior player now, which he wasn't kind of. He had only had 1 year on the top division in Sweden before last year's championship. So that will be interesting. Can he keep doing and rolling like he has done this year, which has been fantastic, the year he's had? He's such a tiny little boy, and he goes out there playing hockey like a man, or better than most men. And he does things that he just goes out there and plays his hockey. And it would be nice to see him do that here, being one of the most important players. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Lucas, is there a player who makes you similarly weak at the knee?
Well, I'm just intrigued to see what Jack Hughes is going to do at this tournament. After following him at the World Juniors in Vancouver and Victoria, where he didn't really get off the launching pad due to injury, he only played half the games. He was very disappointed to not win the U18 gold, because the Americans had a tremendously deep and talented U18 team. But he had this fantastic chemistry with his line mate Cole Caulfield, who looks like a goal-scoring machine. And Cole Caulfield is often called a clone of Alex DeBrincat, and it sounds like the Americans are going to put those two guys together, Alex DeBrincat coming off a very nice season with the Chicago Blackhawks. And the Americans have this history with young players. I mean, they brought a 16-year-old Mark Howe, the son of Gordie Howe, to the 1972 Sapporo Olympics. So there is precedent here, but it'll be fascinating to see how Jack Hughes does against men.
And Alex, I know we talked about the Kapu Kako and the Jack Hughes clash on the 13th of May in England and France. What else are you particularly counting the days for?
Well, I'm going to mention two things here, both related to defensemen. The first is a more established player. Thomas Chabot, I think, could have an enormous World Championships. He's going to be the go-to defenseman on the Canadian national team. And I think in terms of national media and attention, he's slightly underlooked simply because he's been playing on a really poor Ottawa Senators side. But on this Canada team with other players around him, I think it's going to be interesting to see what he can do. And that Canadian defense has a lot of offensive talent on it. And furthermore, as a younger player goes, Moritz Seider from the German national team, he's going to play a decent role for Germany. I mean, the last time a defenseman age 18 and under played a significant role at a World Championships was Phil Housley for the USA in 1981-82, who's now a Hall of Famer. Now, I'm not saying Moritz Seider is going to be Phil Housley, but as an 18-year-old kid having the chance to play a big role for Germany, he's going to be a very interesting player to watch, and a player who potentially could go top 15 in this year's NHL draft.
Thank you, Alex. Well, with everything ready then for the puck to drop at this 2019 Ice Hockey World Championship, the final word goes to, of course, the IIHF president himself, Renny Fassel.
It will be a very, very interesting tournament. We will have an unbelievable Russian team. Maybe Radulov would join the Ovechkin, Kucherov, Kuznetsov, and all the big stars. Sweden will be very strong. So we have big names, top names, So, I mean, for me, the big one is for sure Alexander Ovechkin. But we have also a lot of young future big star. Just United States, we see Jack Jutes. We will have even the Swiss team have a 17 years old Moser. And we have a lot of very young, great talent that will participate there. And we have also the big names. Some, the Czechs will be good. The Slovak will be good. The Slovak is very interesting. There is a guy, Ladislav Nagy. He played in the 2002 World Championship team. So this is nice. He will be 40 years old. Yeah, very interesting championship.
Thank you so much for being with us, Alex, Marie and Lucas. And we hope to be catching up with you when your other duties permit throughout this championship. Don't forget, listener, to share and subscribe. You can find us on Apple, Android, Spotify, all the usual podcast providers. And of course, you can find us every day just after the buzzer sounds at the 2019 IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship. From all of us here, it's goodbye.
The Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Muddy Knees Media production.